Now, I can only share with you my personal convictions, but I believe they are convictions that are growing when I say that there is a new wind blowing. I sense a breeze in the balsams. On Tuesday, I had dinner in the cafeteria with a dormitory student. He was sharing with me the story of his life and his convictions about this, his second year on this campus. And he spoke about a new wind blowing. I was visiting last week with one of our student leaders. She was excited. One of the staff of Andrews 2 weeks ago was telling me he was excited. This last week, October 5, student movement, headlines, essay, handshake was totally wholesome. A little bit of editorializing at the end of the article, these words, "Well, I think things are different. There is a new and different spirit here and a longing for a more wholesome experience, a deeper spiritual commitment, and a stronger sense of purpose for why we are involved in Christian education. I say there's a breeze in the balsams when 1,500 almost Christians in the middle of their busy weeks come together to celebrate the Lord Jesus Christ. I say there's a breeze in the balsams." Putting Jesus in your skiff doesn't take the storms out of your life. Doesn't mean you're going to have a cloudless sky and a stormless ride to life, not on your life. Faith does not eliminate the storms, it eliminates the fear of the storms. If you invite Jesus into your life on a daily basis, I know the demons we struggle with, but if you'll invite Jesus in, your soul becomes a fortress, and that fortress is impregnable to Satan. And I say that's good news. What do you say? Our youngest members are our greatest mission, period. I defy anybody to find logic that will gainsay what we just shared. The youngest members of the church are the greatest mission of the church. Period. 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 You know, there are times in your life and in mine when those tears, those salty tears trickle out the corners of our eyes and we're staring at that blank, dark ceiling in the midnight hour, and we feel so God-forsaken and all alone, and we're sobbing to ourselves, and we're asking, is anybody out there at all? My friend, he not only hears those sobs, he not only feels your saltine tears, he is watching you as you cry. You're not ignored by God when you're going through that crisis. Some of you are going through a terrible, terrible chapter in your life right now, and you're saying, there is no way I can make it. My friend, God not only hears your sobs and moans and groans, he sees you.
Therefore, if the second coming of the Holy Spirit is what stands between us, between you and me, and the final chapter of Earth's history, I ask you, in the name of God, I ask you, why are we not begging and pleading for that outpouring? For nearly 100 hours now, our television screens have been rewinding and replaying all the numbing shock, all the wrenching emotion, all the suffering pain of Tuesday's terror in New York City, in Washington, D.C., in Somerset, Pennsylvania, in these United States of America. Do you understand that potentially, you are the generation with the stunning potential of being able to lead this movement to cross over without seeing death? God somehow took down the wall. And if God can take down the wall of my irreconcilable differences with him, then does that not mean that he could come into the wall that I have built up between you and me, and he can help me take that wall down between us? And no longer are they irreconcilable differences anymore. For the morning star always shines in the darkest hour of the midnight just before daybreak. That's the point. Every time that hideous demon comes to you and he has his sights on your heart, there is a way of escape. You will never be cornered. You will never be boxed. You can never be besieged by the enemy, but that God himself will step into that besiegement and provide a way of escape every time.
I'm praying to God for 100 pleaders. God, just 100 pleaders on the campus of Andrews University, Berrien Springs, Michigan. 100 pleaders who every day say, please, please, baptize me today. Fill me with your Spirit. Guys, ladies and gentlemen, it's that simple. It's not hard. You just ask and you receive. You seek and you find. You knock and the door is open to you. But guess what? You and I were bought with a price. Somebody paid an infinite price to have you with him.
I want to tell you something. I have some news for you. Jesus is not coming back until the world gets reached and the church does the reaching. Because the reaching is part of the strategic plan to change the hearts of the church. That would be you and that would be me. I fight, you face. That's it. Trust me.
I know it's a huge Jericho. I've talked to some of you. The Jericho is almost, it's almost crushing. But I'm telling you today, on the authority of God's word, you must not quit. You must not turn and run. Go straight forward. That wall is there, but guess who takes down the walls? Stay with him. Somebody's trying to get our attention before it is too late. Not to punish us, come on, get off of that jag. Not to punish us, but to rather out of love to desperately awaken us so that we might change course, change course, change course, change course.